Thank you very much for joining us here on the Parramatters podcast for this finals edition of the show. Now, I'm going to go to Jono first because he's a bit safer. Jono, mate.
It's really not.
How are you feeling?
I'm good. I'm feeling good. Physically, mentally, I'm not sure.
All right. Why are you so uncertain about your mental state right now?
Because our coach has picked his son the exact way we thought he would. And my guy is sitting on 20th.
You want to go to the safe option.
I might as well just throw to Bernie. Bernie, tell us, how are you feeling about
this? I'm actually going to take a different route than I did last week. Like last week, I was straight into, why is Jake in the team? Now I'm going to jump slightly to the left. I don't care if he's in the team now. What I care more about is that he only plays 5 minutes. And I've said this before, if you're going to have him in the team, you got to play him. There's no point having him in the our forwards. And I think we saw this. First of all, fantastic victory. We were like absolutely smashing them. It was one of the greatest games I've ever seen for 70 minutes. And then people say we switched off, but we didn't switch off at all. The boys were exhausted. Yeah. Iceman in particular, exhausted because of he didn't get rotated. He didn't get any bench time. Maka played 10 minutes and Jake played 5. And that's my gripe. I don't care who's in the team. If he wants to strategically put Jake in the team to cover if Mitch goes down mid-game or to cover for Reed if Reed gets tired, but I don't see Reed getting tired. But anyway, if that's his strategy, fine. But you can't have him sitting on the bench only playing 5 minutes. You've got to have him on for 20 minutes and you've got to have Maka on for 20 minutes. You got to rotate those boys because I tell you what's going to happen now is exactly what I used to say with Sean Lane. Iceman will now go, I remember how embarrassed I feel about the last 10 minutes of last week. I'm not putting in 100% to start this game off. I'm going to leave some in the tank. And I don't even blame him because he's like, if I'm playing 80, no way in hell I want Cleary and Loi running at me with 10 minutes to go when I can barely move. So yeah, that's my gripe this week.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that Regan Campbell-Gillard played the entire first half.
It's insane. It's insane.
Whistle to whistle, he played the entire first half. And Junior played 49 minutes. Reg played 64.
That's insane.
And this is Brad's strategy going forward into the finals against Penrith, against Melbourne, against the Roosters, the Rabbitohs, the Cowboys, whoever the hell we're playing from this point.
Yeah.
Now we're just going to take out two. I know we're a different team when they're off the park because Oregon and, you know, Murata, whoever's our bench rotation forwards at the time, don't have the same impact as Junior and Reg. Yeah. But you can't play them for 65 minutes and expect them to, you know, just because we're a different side with them on the park, you know, you can't expect them to play 65 minutes and then do it again next week and then do it again in the preliminary. And then by the time we get to the grand final, the tank's empty, man.
They're flogged. Yeah. So I just, once again, Barry, scratching my head.
Well, I've got to take umbrage with both of you here. Now, a couple of the phrases you've used. Bernie, you said the word strategy. All right.
And master coach strategy, yeah.
Jono one-upped you with the phrase bench rotation, right? So we know that those two things don't exist in our team. And here we are forward projecting, Maka needs to be on for 20 minutes. He won't be.
No.
You know, Brad needs to. He won't do any of that. Nope. So we're back to the dumb fuck decisions he's done are going to be in the – they're coming up. We've got to stop this. Oh, here's what he needs to do, and here's what's going to happen. It's dumb fuckery, and next week will be dumb fuckery.
Well, that's right? Why I said we'll move on from him being, from Jake Arthur being selected, because that's dumb fuckery to start with. If Mitch goes off mid-game, it's our season's gone. I mean, let's face it, we need Mitch to win. We're not winning a grand final with Jake Arthur. So why not put an extra forward on the bench or Cartwright, one of the greatest utility players in existence? Why not put them on and give us the chance of winning the grand final? If Mitch goes down injured, season's over. Let's face it.
Yeah.
You can't put Jake on the bench just in case Mitch gets injured, because Jake's not winning us a grand final. So
yeah, that's right.
And the problem was that it wasn't so much that Reg and RCG burnt their engines out. It was that Iceman had to lift his game to compensate for the fact that you've got two tiring forwards in the game. He had to up his game. He got exhausted, and BA made a joke of it at the end. I don't know if you guys saw the presser.
Yeah.
The very last comment that BA said, that the interviewer said, is Iceman okay? He seemed to get injured. And BA started laughing and said, nah, he was just tired. He's aware that he's tired. He's aware. I mean, why was he tired? Yeah. He's been fine all year. All of a sudden, nothing left in the tank. It's almost like he had to lift his thing. Anyway, so
he did.
I'm worried about that. But let's sit back for 1 second and just smile, because I saw they had the finals football photo shoot, and Parramatta was there. We're in the top eight. We're in the finals. I mean, it's been a pretty good year. We've won more than we've lost. We've enjoyed most of it. It's just, it's so hard to enjoy it, because we all can see that we can win this grand final. We've got the team. We just need, if we could just have that extra forward or extra utility on the bench, geez, we'd come really close. And I just think the way that Munster ran, he tore us apart in the last 10 minutes. He was one rushed conversion away from being 6 points, and with 2 minutes to play, they could have caught us, and that's insane from where we were. And it was only because Munster, and that's purely because Munster saw the tide forwards. He led the attack at them. Iceman let in 3 tries. At what point do you pull him off and go, this guy's exhausted?
He can't see that for some reason.
So where the fuck is Madge sitting? Someone's supposed to be sitting next to him saying, dude, get him the fuck off. Like, he's letting him try. There's none of that. I saw... who was it on the weekend that got flogged? Was it the Tigers? Maybe. No. It was the Broncos. The Broncos, and they had like 6 people in the coach's box. They had Kevy at the front, and he had a whole entourage. Where's our entourage?
Yeah.
We just need someone tapping him on the back going, oh, look down there, Iceman. He's tired. He's not running.
Yeah.
Oh, Munster just ran right past him. And not only that, he ran right past him, and Madison was tired and he couldn't cover for him. Mm. Oh, okay. And Munster's just like, I'm just going to keep running there. And he did, kept running. Yeah. Another 5 minutes, we could have lost that game. We probably would have lost that game.
Yeah. And so to give you let's do a boxing comparison, right? Or a street fighting comparison, whatever it is. But you're on the street, someone starts swinging. If you can hold out for 30 seconds, you can literally beat 99% of people just on cardio from that 30-second mark onwards. Now, Ivan Cleary was at the game last week, and if I was him, I'd be like, you know what? One strategy is to keep fresh players until the final 10 minutes because fucking Muppet Man isn't going to rest his players.
No.
And I'm going to drive home in the last 10 minutes.
Yep.
Like, you're just going to sit back. That time's done, boom, and you go. And as you say, if there was 5 more minutes, we were fucked.
We were gone. I mean,
because
Munster wouldn't have rushed that conversion. He would have taken his time. And they would have gotten the extra 6 points, scores level, and they would have got the win. Yeah. I mean, let's face it, they were just running over the top of us the last day. And it wasn't that we were switched off.
It's more
concerning if we mentally switch off. But half the comments I saw on Facebook were like, oh, we've got to play the full 80. They couldn't. They gave everything in that 70 minutes, and the coach let them down and let them burn themselves. Yes.
Again, now,
as if it was me, once again, I don't want to be a hypocrite. If I was one of these guys, I'd be like, holy fuck, like everyone's saying I could cost the team a spot in the grand final or the semi-final, preliminary final. I could cost them the match. I better leave something in the tank. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to go out there. They're not going to engage 100% with the forward, with the Panthers forward pack. And they're going to run over the top of us. And then Cleary and Luai are going to come over the top of that. You know, we do have two bites at the cherry. We don't mind so much if we lose this game against the Panthers on Friday night. It's going to be it's going to be a crackout of a game. And, you know, but I'm not that worried if we lose it because we've spoken about the week off doesn't necessarily benefit us.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, we get a free roll of the dice Friday night to see what happens. But I don't want to see us winning in either a semi-final, preliminary final, grand final. Imagine we're winning in a grand final with 10 minutes left to go and we start seeing Iceman falling away and Reg has fallen away and we've got, you know, Jake Arthur on the bench to come on.
Why would we not see that? We see it every week. Why is it going to be different?
The only thing that's going to be different is if someone gets injured. And I don't hope injury upon anyone. Sure. But if the only way is if, like, Madison gets an early knock or something, which he tends to do, I don't know why he's not wearing headgear with the amount of concussions that kid's had. I mean, it should be mandatory for him to have headgear on with the amount of concussions that guy's had. He's one concussion away from ending his career. But anyway, if he goes out early or someone gets injured early, Jake comes on. Once again, I don't even care he's in the team. My only problem now is he's not getting enough minutes. Bring him on. Bring him on. Rotate.
There's nowhere to put him.
Yeah.
Because there's nowhere to put him.
Yeah.
Hooker. I mean, he seems to be giving Reed a break. Reed doesn't need a break. Reed's an 80-minute player. He's always been an 80-minute player. So we ride it out, boys. I mean, it's going to be frustrating as fuck, you know, it's because we are so close to winning a grand final. We're three games away from winning a bloody grand final and we've got the team to do it. There's just one fucking thing and that's Jake Arthur on the bench when he shouldn't be there. You put in Bryce Cartwright. But what happened? I don't understand. Bryce Cartwright was in the team. He was playing 20 minutes a game and killing it. He was playing fantastic. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, there goes that strategy.
Yeah.
And people are arguing, saying, yeah, but oh, we've won the last three games with Jake Arthur on the bench. We would have won it even more comfortably if he wasn't on the bench. I don't want to do a whole nother show about Jake Arthur on the bench, but it seems to me that it is the only thing that is going to prevent us from being very competitive in this final series. I do want to say, though, how good it is to be in a final series because I've got a brother-in-law who's a West Tigers fan. You know, they've just got the wooden spoon. I mean, we had that a couple of years ago. We know what that feels like. And here we are in the eight, in the top four. We're in the top four. You know, what a fantastic season. I'm really excited by it. If we had won the grand final last year and this was like, I'd be like, just let the boys have a bit of fun. Let's just see what happens. But it's just because we've got that 37 in a row hanging over us and we know full well that next year is not going to be our year. We're back to rebuilding with half the team disappearing. So it's a little bit frustrating at the moment, boys.
I want to put a pin in that and I want to go to Jono because we haven't really given you a chance to speak, Jono, but I want to talk to you about next year as well. So, Jono, your thoughts?
Well, next year, I think we're losing too much cattle. I hear rumours that we might possibly be signing Liam Martin, which would be a great signing for the club going forwards.
Well, that was a rumour from me, just to be... I was studying that rumour, but... So when you say you're hearing rumors, you hear them from me. But they did say it in the commentary, yeah.
that could be a potential, right? Look, next year, you're right, is not our year. We've said that from the start of this year. As soon as Reed Marty announced he was going to the Bulldogs, as soon as those crispy prawn crackers won him over in that Chinese restaurant, that was it. That was the end of Parramatta's 2023 campaign. It was dead in the water.
Okay. I've never been on board with that. I've never been on board with you both saying that. Because I still think, because we've got still got a lot of firepower next year.
Who have we got at nine? We've got Josh Hodgkins.
Like, yeah, who's an old head, right?
Old body. And he's an old body.
Okay. So is Adam Reynolds, right? And he took that dog shit team and
took them to ninth.
No, which before they were 13th.
I don't want to be 13th. I want to be in the top eight.
Yeah. I'm just saying he has improved that team. Now, Josh could actually be of benefit to us, is what I'm saying. We have an old head there.
He's experienced. I mean, he's got a good head on his shoulders more than Reedy does. He wouldn't make the dumb little rookie errors that Reedy tends to make. He's not as dynamic as Reed, but he at least would be able to be more situationally aware.
So we've got Gutho, we've got Moses, we've got Dillbags, we've got RCG, we've got Junior Paulo. Now we've got Hodge, Josh coming in. That's still a pretty solid group.
You know, you need a spine to win.
I know what you're saying, but I've never really bought the fact that we're going to underperform next year. I know what you're saying, but I just don't think we're going to be wooden spooners next year. I will say this to contradict myself is that I am very worried we're going to lose all five of the players I've just named when the lawsuits come in from not salary cap, but from Jim Henson's estate, when we essentially get sued because BA is a fucking Muppet and he's making a fucking Muppet show of the bench selection and team selection and the bench rotation. So I really think a lawsuit's coming down the pipe and essentially we're just going to have no one. That's my big fear.
Well, the other fear is, you know, Dylan Brown's money hungry. We said that from the start. Mitch Moses has his eye on, I think it was the Dolphins. He keeps an eye on the Dolphins. His contract expires end of next year or the year after. They could go after Mitch and Gutho the 1st of November next year. And I don't know what state our club's going to be in a year from now, but we could be losing. The decline could be coming. You know, we lose Iceman this year and we lose Reedy. And then in 2 years' time, all of a sudden, we're going to lose Mitch. We're going to lose Gutho. This club could get a broom through it for all we know, which I still think that this season is absolutely paramount.
I'm not denying that. I just don't think – I don't think it's all doom and gloom next year is my point, apart from the getting sued because of the Muppetry.
Well, you know, we're a top four team this season, you know, which is great. And I think we'll be battling for the top eight next year. It's not going to be off a cliff. We're not going to be 12th. You know, we're going to be maybe bottom half of the eight. We're not going to be, thereabouts. Because you're right. We're not, you know, we're losing Reedy and some fringe players. But, you know, that's more chance for Mac and Macca to get more time. Maybe Bryce Cartwright locks his place in the team next year. Maybe Ogden.
Jake gets a lot of bench time. Yeah.
Have we forgotten Jake completely about bloody Wiramu Greg, the stop sign? I mean, that guy, he started the season as one of our, you know, up and coming forwards. And I know he got injured, but we just haven't given him any game time. If we want him to fire next year, we've given him no experience whatsoever. We're just throwing him in. I'll tell you what my issue is with next year. It is with Josh Hodgkin.
I always say his name wrong. That's why I just went with Josh.
Yeah, me too. Let's call him Josh. I think it's Hodgkin. Hodgson. So obviously he got injured, I think, game one or two of this year for Canberra, set out the entire season. If that happens for us, if he's playing for us and he gets another season-ending injury up early, Jake Arthur is our hooker for the year. Let that sink in, boys. All right. He's not a hooker. He's played his entire career at halfback. And we're going to throw him at wherever you've got someone like Reed, who is fringe state of origin. He's like next in line after Harry Grant to maybe Hunt as well. Like Hunt's been playing well. But he's in the top three to play state of origin and he's only going to get better. whereas Josh has 1 or 2 years left in him, full stop. Now, I think Josh is a better player. You put them both in and they both fit for a full game, I'd rather have Josh there. He's a better player. He's a fan. He gives great service. Like, his ball delivery is insane. He runs the ball, I think, better than Reed does. Reed's tackle count is insane. Like, we're going to be – Jake cannot tackle as much as Reed does. He's just physically not going to be able to. So the reason I'm concerned about next year is if now there's a lot of ifs. Mitch Moses, if he goes down for the season, our whole year is gone because we're going to have Jake Arthur at halfback. If Josh goes down, then we're going to have Jake at hooker. So I'm just like, what happens if Gutho goes down? I mean, all of a sudden you're going to have Dilbags going to, is he getting pushed back to spend the year at fullback? There's so many variables. I just wanted to have a young spine. Now, if we had Reed at number 9, we've got that young spine. We've got Dilbags, who's not going to, let's face it, he's not finishing his career at Parramatta. As soon as he gets the first $1 million contract, he's gone. And, you know, that's fair enough. I mean, we've always known, you know, while we got him, it's fantastic. Clint's just signed a new contract. So he's obviously got enough money because there was no, he just signed on the dotted line. I don't know what they offered him. So my only concern with the spine is the number 9 spot, in all seriousness, for next year. And because I don't think BA puts full weight in the importance of number 9. Now, you look at Melbourne Storm, they had, like, what, 10 years of dominance. Now, who did they have at hooker for the entire bloody 10 years? Cameron Smith, one of the greatest players of all time, Mr. Rubber, never got injured, played 400 games, and he was the linchpin of all of their success. We need to have a rock-solid number 9 like all the other good teams. There was rumours going around that Hunt was off contract and that we might be looking to sign him. Now, I like that rumour too. Liam Martin is a good replacement for the Iceman. So you get those guys in and we are fine. It is just the number 9. I'm just worried about Josh not lasting a full season. And But, Barry, I don't believe the Muppets lawsuit will go through because I honestly don't think BA is coaching us next year if we don't. If we lose the next
time. All right, you're now named. You're now named in the lawsuit, mate. That's Muppetry right there.
If we lose the next 2 games, BA's gone. It's that simple. We need to at least win one of these final games. If he loses 2 in a row, he's gone.
Preliminary final at worst, grand final at best, premiership at best, grand final.
Yeah.
Like, if we're out in the semi-final again,
yeah, he's gone.
Questions get asked. Big questions get asked. Especially from fourth. Like, last year we finished 6th or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, it was a slightly harder road. But from fourth, bowing out in the semi-final from fourth position is inexcusable.
Yeah.
No.
We've got the cattle. We've got the cattle to go further than
I don't. I don't have faith in that theory that he's going to go.
We'll see.
The one thing I'll bring up is, why didn't they do like they did with Dez, who I think is about to quit on his own, and good on him, because Manly really fucked him and it wasn't his fault whatsoever. Some woke fucktard, you know, decided, at the last second, wouldn't it be a good idea to put rainbow stripes on the jersey without talking to the coach and the players?
That killed their season.
Massive headache.
They were going to be in the finals until that.
11 losses in a row because some woke fuckwit thought this would be a good idea without consulting anyone.
Yeah.
And they hung it around Dez's neck. So Dez is going to go. But the reality is there's just not enough coaches out there. But getting back to my point, why didn't they do what they did with Dez? And they said, Dez, we either make, you know, 6th place or above, or you're gone. Like, it was in his contract. But instead, last year, we just magically went, BA, you can have another year. Why didn't they say to him, mate, unless you do this, you're gone? Like, that's the way to do that.
You know why? Because we're fourth. We're a top four team.
Yeah.
Brad Arthur got us to fourth.
What are you talking about? I'm talking about when they renewed him. We weren't fourth when they renewed him. Why did they not say last year, right, if you don't improve upon the sixth place performance, we're not extending you? Instead, they just went, you can have another year. And we all went, why? Well, what's happened here?
They gave him another 2 years. They signed him. He signed till the end of fucking 24.
Again, my point is, why didn't they do what Dez did and go and say to Dez, if you don't perform, you're out of here? That's what they should have said to him.
Yeah, and I don't think Dez is going to walk. I think Dez is going to, as you said, get pushed, and it'll be the same thing with Trent Barrett when he walked from Manly. He didn't want to walk. He got fired. They just let him, you know, save face. But I think BA, if he doesn't win something this year, if we go 0-2 the next two games, he's gone, 100% gone. I reckon they'll let him stay on if he wins one of them. But I just don't want him there rebuilding the team.
We can't have nice things. That's why I think he's going to be there. And he's going to be the one rebuilding.
He'll be extended because we finished fourth. You talk about you wanted to see improvement. Yeah. We were semi-finalists last year. We finished fifth, I think, last year, or sixth. And this year we finished fourth.
I think it was
that
sixth.
I think we were third the year before.
Yeah. And then we had the wooden spoon. So
yeah.
So how do you throw that wooden spoon in with the team that we've got?
Yeah.
It's still
well, Trent Barrett could do it. I'm confident. Yeah. I'm confident he can take us to the spoon.
I still think that spoon was Corey Norman and Mitch Moses not getting along, actually. And didn't we bring Hayne back that year?
It was too, yeah, you're dead right.
Yeah. That was a lot of contributing factors. That team was toxic.
Who brought him back though, John? But BA brought him back. I mean, it was his decision to let that toxicity back into the team. I look, you 10 years you've had your go. I'm sorry. I think he's done really great job of getting us into the top four. He really is. I mean, we keep going back to the horse and the jockey analogy. It's like you almost want BA as your trainer. Okay, you train the horse, get the horse ready, and then we'll stick another jockey on and he'll ride us to victory. Like, I swear there's so many coaches just sitting here going, oh, my God, if I had this team, I'd be like, we could win it from here. But it's almost like he goes, oh, we got here. There's no reason whatsoever. Cartwright is dropped from the team. No reason whatsoever. And all of a sudden we need a replacement. Oh, Reed looks tired. No, he doesn't. I don't understand. He hasn't had his best season, but he doesn't look tired.
He's not tired.
Yeah, it's I
and
think.
You know what? And he's totally dangling the carrot, dude. You see Nathan Brown's name 18th man.
You did right.
You talk about dangling the fucking carrot. So we could drop Jake. Imagine he's just and he wouldn't because it's Brad Arthur, but he's just got in Nathan Brown's head and he's like, you want like redemption, like you know you haven't played all year, but if you want to redeem yourself in the club and get off like the trade block, the selling block, go out and give me the four best games, the most hardest aggressive games of football you've ever played in your life, and just be a hole punch through the middle. Like, don't get penalized, you know, don't go to the pit, don't get suspended, just be a hole punch, just give me three games of pure aggression.
I don't even care if he does get suspended. But the thing is, you dangle that carrot and you go, okay, and I reckon Brownie would be like, oh, my God, I'm getting all fired up. And then he's not going to get a shot. It's almost like he lights a fuse to something that's not attached to any dynamite or I don't know. He's not going to get a shot and he's going to play Jake for 5 minutes unless Mitch gets injured. And if Mitch gets injured, it's game over anyway.
There's no logic. We keep coming back to that. No. Really quickly, the NRL to me have completely made the wrong choice of running the women's season concurrently with the men's. Like, I haven't watched a second of it.
It's been hard to get into the second season, in all honesty.
Yeah.
Right now, all we're talking about, like, we haven't even mentioned it on our previous shows.
Well, we have lost the first three games, so I don't really want. I didn't watch all three games.
Well, on that, I haven't watched a second of it. But the point being that imagine if it was run like it was previously, where it was before the season.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, fuck, more footy.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one gives a shit about gender. No one when it comes to this. More no. footy, my team, I get to watch more of it. That's what I want to do. Stick it in the middle of the men's season. What am I choosing?
Yeah, you're right. It's not even the middle of it. You're dead right. It's the top end of the men's season. We followed this all year. And here we are. We've only got a few games left. And they're like, here's the women's game. And it's just like, no, I have watched it. But in all honesty, you know, I'm not truly invested in it as I was the first season. But you're dead right, Barry. If they brought it on after the grand final and you're kind of like, God. Oh, the season's over. I want some footy. Oh, the chicks are on.
There's more footy.
There's more footy. You know, and then you're fully into it. And then we're doing a whole show on the women's game. You know what I mean? And
Jono, it comes to Rocky. It comes to Mackay. I'd be in the car and I'd be up there. I'd come and see you. I'd drive up 5 hours to watch that game.
Yeah.
Yep.
Fully agree.
How good.
They've dropped the ball there. And I don't know if it's because they're going to be, we want to have the women's grand final on the same day as the men's grand final. It's going to get swallowed in the men's grand final. I mean, it's not, they've dropped the ball. I mean, I fully agree. We haven't mentioned it.
They've gone from main event to curtain raiser. That's their biggest problem.
Yeah. And they could have had their own standalone competition, which we would have fully supported. But at the moment, we're so invested with the team that we've followed our entire lives, being in the finals 37 years. I haven't got time to think of the girls' game, in all honesty, apart from the fact we've lost all three of them and we should have beat the Knights last on the weekend and let the game get away with us, away from us. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's another story. But I am watching. But if they would have had 100% of our time after the grand final, dead right,
yeah,
Barry.
Yeah. All right. Now, really quickly, Jono, prediction for the Panthers match.
I think they're going to get us just. I think that the rest will be good. They'll get us 26-24.
Ooh, a high scorer.
Bernie?
Yeah, I've got a bad feeling that we are going to lose the game. I just think that they will actually respond well to having a week off. The fact that they've all been rested, they are going to come out firing, and I honestly think our forwards are going to be a little gun shy. I honestly think because of what happened last week, and no one's going to know, but they're going to come out and go, I need to leave something in the tank. I'm playing 65, 70 minutes in up against these massive bloody Penrith forwards. I do not want to be in the last 10 minutes exhausted. You watch Iceman, I guarantee you he's not hitting the ball up 100%. So I don't even want to say it because I secretly think we're going to win it. But my brain is telling me that Penrith are going to win. My heart is telling me that Parramatta is going to run over the top of them again. So we'll put Cleary, get him out of the game early again, and we'll just run over the top of them. But brain is saying, oh, I like where your head's at, Jono. I'll probably think about 22-18. I think it'll be a close game, but I think the last 10 minutes, for some reason, they're going to score a few points. So,
Gas tank.
Yep. Gas tank, yep.
All right, well, I'll do the opposite again. So you guys are saying Panthers. I'll say the Eels. And hopefully that will counterbalance. But I actually think it would be better for us to lose because, as I've always said, we can't defeat a week off. So I think it would be better that we keep playing. Or we beat the Panthers and we all get dropped down to, I don't know, some touch football game that's on next week and all our players have to go and play in it. As long as they keep playing for the women.
They can all go play. The halfback for the women's game, I don't know her name, but she looks like Jake Arthur with a wig on. you have to check her out. Nick and I have been joking, saying, oh, there's Jake Arthur. He's like, it's got a wig on it. Yeah, it was like when Junior went to play park footy.
Senior Paulo.
I did see a good comment on Facebook. Someone said, if we win against the Panthers, then next week we should be playing our Reggie's team so we can get a loss under our belt. And I thought, that's a great call. That's someone who knows.
And, knows the team.
Yeah, and they got torn apart. Oh, you're not a true fan. Oh, when are you? Oh, for fuck's sake. Like, it was a joke and it was a good one. I found it funny.
Yeah, it was great. Anyhow, you can catch me on the Dummy M podcast with my mate T-Dog, and you can catch Jono on the F1 chat. And Bernie, you introduced a new podcast last week. How's that one going?
Good. I've got one subscriber to the Fuck Melbourne podcast, which I started last week. So hopefully I can triple those numbers this week, boys. And I did forget to upload the podcast. Maybe that's why I've only got one subscriber. But yeah, so stay tuned for the second debut of the Fuck Melbourne podcast starting this week on all good podcast channels.
Excellent. And really quickly, Fuck Melbourne.
Fuck Melbourne.
Fuck Melbourne.
And click go the Eels.
Click go the Eels. Grand final year, boys.
Click go the Eels. Let's go get them.